Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Hey, thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder. This is Young Catholics Respond, and I just want to take a moment and thank you for tuning in. And also remind you to sign up for our conference on March 28th. It's called Our Faith, Our Hope, Our Love. Don't worry, you're still going to be able to keep all that social distancing in order because it's fully online. We've got great speakers and it's entirely free. Although we do suggest a $28 donation to help us cover production costs and give the speakers a little bit of something for their time. But otherwise, it's entirely free, and we would love for you to sign up. All you got to do is head over to our Facebook page or our website, patchworkheart.org, and you click on the online store, and then you'll see a thing that says online events, and the event's right there. You can sign up. You can also make a donation as well. So we'd love if you'd sign up for that. It's going to be all day on March 28th from 10 o'clock a.m. until 5 o'clock p.m. We're going to have a beautiful closing mass with Father Matthew Phelan. Check him out later, by the way, on Sowing Hope later today live on our podcast as well. So check that out, folks. It's going to be a great conference. So today my guest is Jody Vickery, and Jody has a fantastic company called Peace by Peace, and it's P-E-A-C-E by P-I-E-C-E, recovery.com, and it's all about grief recovery. Judy has just an amazing background. She is a GRM, Grief Recovery Method Certified Counselor, and in addition to that, she has many cumulative years of loss over her lifetime, including the death of a brother, the loss of both parents a year apart, moving 10 times, and the loss of a 30-year marriage. So she has a lot of work with this. She's also a former teacher. She loved working with children and getting to know the entire person just beyond their performance in the classroom. She's worked with many students who were performing below grade level, and she has just created this beautiful mission and a company to accompany people along their road of grief, right? So Jody, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for joining me here on Young Catholics Respond. It's a pleasure to have you.
Well, you are so welcome, Bill. Thanks for having me. It's a privilege.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, you know, the bio never does it justice. You know, you can read the you know, the wonderful bio you have on your website. But I want to ask you a little bit about more about your journey and just tell us your story about how you came to settle into this type of mission as a grief recovery method specialist.
Well, absolutely. You know, I think everybody goes through a lot of pain and peace in their lifetime. I think that's the one thing that we can always say will always exist. Pain and peace will always exist together. But so often we're really not prepared, right, how to deal with the grief when it comes along. And you often hear that old adage that we learn how to acquire things very easily, but we don't know what to do with loss in our life. And so for me, yes, you mentioned I've had a lot of cumulative losses in my lifetime, some probably not, you know, more common than others. I've lost both my parents. It was a year apart, and that was difficult. And I lost my 30-year-old brother on St. Patrick's Day in 1990. The loss of the divorce that I went through, I had a 30-year marriage that was extremely devastating. So a lot of people have different types of losses in their life. And I always say that, you know, every loss is unique. We all grieve uniquely to our particular situation. So even if somebody has lost a dog or a cat, you know, a pet to many people are their most important loved ones in their life. So grief is just so unique and it's so different. But, you know, maybe I'll just start with how I came to getting to where I'm at today. Let me just give you a little bit of background, I guess. I always start with my parents because I had two amazing parents. My mom, I always laugh that I always considered my mom as the closest thing to Jesus on earth that I've ever known. Of all the people in my life, she really walked the talk, so to speak. She lived her life very selfless. She was such a devout Catholic, one of 11 children, and I honest to goodness, I don't think I've ever heard her raise her voice. I'm 56 years old. I lost her back in 2011, and she was just a saint in my eyes. And so she's the one that introduced me to God. She brought five children to church every week. We were all 2 years apart, and she was always my hero in my life. And when we lost her, it was really difficult. But we lost my dad first. And my dad, again, just a very, very amazing man, hardest working man I know. My husband was also extremely hardworking. My dad loved to sing. He loved his children unconditionally. But also, my dad had a very, very difficult childhood. And I never knew how bad my dad's childhood was until he was probably in his 60s and I in my late 40s. And so just talking about grief, I've learned so much over the years about how common it is for all of us to stuff down our grief. You know, we all kind of abide by a lot of the myths that I've learned about in my certification process through the Grief Recovery Institute, the myths of grief. And one is, you know, that time will heal all wounds. But it's so not true because people can stay stuck in their grief for years, decades. And I learned a lot when my dad opened up when he was in his 60s. And he talked about his childhood and, you know, how he lost his dad tragically at 9 years old. And his dad bought him a bicycle and his dad rode the bicycle down to the drugstore to get a pack of cigarettes. And my dad saw him get killed. He got hit by a car on the bike that he just bought his son. And so, you know, shortly after that, and again, these were stories I didn't know until I was in my late 40s, but and I saw my dad really open up, and I started to understand, you know, my dad, I'll admit, he drank. I think that's where he hid a lot of his pain. He would often drink on weekends, but work as hard as anybody I know during the week. And so I never felt that emotional sharing, I guess, that we all love with our relationships, whether it's spouses or children or parents. I never really felt that awareness of who he was. And so as a teenager, when he would resort to drinking or you know, things I didn't approve of, you know, I found myself as a teenager, it was easy to get mad at him, right? because that's all I knew. I saw him work, you know, and I saw him, he was there for us, but he drank. And so in grief recovery, maybe I'll go back and forth with a lot of things I might intertwine here, but what I've learned in my grief recovery business is what we call STERBs, which are short-term energy-relieving behaviors. And so now as an adult, I can look back and see that my dad used, you know, a STERB like many people do. He turned to alcohol to relieve his pain. And so when I lost my brother at 30 years old on St. Patrick's Day, I felt a lot of guilt. I experienced a lot of guilt. I was working for Kellogg cereal, kind of newly married. I think I was married 2 years at that point, and my husband and I were building a house, and we were living in upstate New York, 4 hours away from, you know, where my parents were in Connecticut. And long story short, my brother had fallen down a flight of stairs when he was in his 30s, 29, and he had been drinking, and he was in a coma for 14 days. And I came home, of course, and I saw him. And my mom pretty much rehabbed him every day. Once he got home from the hospital, he came out of the coma, thank goodness. But he had a lot of rehab to do, physical rehab. And so almost a year to that day, when my parents were supposed to have gone on a trip for just themselves, because they rarely did that in their older years, I offered to come home from my job up in upstate New York. And I said, well, I'll stay with Jimmy. You know, you guys take your trip. You deserve it, you know? And so again, a long, long story short, but Jimmy, I went to the hospital. My parents just got on a flight. My mom wasn't too thrilled about leaving. Of course, she was worried about her son, but we all reassured her he'd be fine. And a long story short, Jimmy was home with me, and that night, you know, I'd given him his medications. I went for a run with my, I think it was my husband at the time, and I got home, and my brother wasn't feeling well. I said, what's wrong? I don't know. I don't feel real well. So I called the doctor, and he just went downhill really, really fast. And my parents had just landed in Florida. I was on the phone trying to call an ambulance. It went downhill that quickly. And we got him to the, I didn't even want to wait for the ambulance. So I said, let's get in the car. I want to take you. And we got to the hospital, and my brother died a half an hour after we got to the hospital. And I had tremendous guilt. Like, did I do something wrong? Did I do something wrong? And for years, you know, I had to call my parents. They literally just landed. They had to fly back home that next day. Very, very devastating. It was awful. And when you're in the corporate world, you know, you get 3 days off. They have all those kinds of rules, right? So I had 3 days off, and it was very difficult. So I had to go back as a newlywed, you know, to be with my husband, carrying all this grief inside of me, with really nowhere to put it. And so I was guilty of stuffing it down and putting on what I call, what grief recovery calls, the Academy Award mask. You know, I'm fine. Feelings inside, not expressed. I'm fine. We often use that acronym. And I just stuffed it down, and I had to be strong in all those myths that we talk about in grief. And so that's kind of the background of, I feel like I had a lot of unresolved grief from when my brother died. You know, my parents died after him. So chronologically, my brother died first, and then I lost my dad, and then I lost my mom. And I just kind of decided that, you know, as a newlywed, and I said, you know, this is hard. I've never really dealt with it. And then, you know, we were married quite a few years, and I've had two beautiful children. They're doing amazing. I'm very blessed with regards to that. But we moved 10 times, my husband and I, with our careers. And I always felt like, you know, something was missing. You know, there's just more to life than jobs and, you know, bringing up the kids, like I think we're all guilty of. And I wanted to join a Bible study group. So I joined a Bible study group at church. And that was really my first introduction to I would say truly understanding what it meant to start having a relationship with God, being with God instead of thinking I have to do the right things to be a good Christian. And so, I mean, from there, I guess I could say I just started to feel this change in me, and I couldn't get enough, and I wanted to feel more and more nourished. And again, we were both working, and I had taken some time off to be at home with the kids, and my husband was traveling a lot. And just to move forward quite a bit, I guess, you know, at some point, my husband, with his travel, was, I guess I could say we both felt that things could have been a little bit better, right? And maybe not understanding each other's needs as much, because you're starting to evolve, you know, when you're a newlywed. We've all probably heard about the love languages, right? The five love languages.
Yes.
And when we're young, you know, we're in love and it's, you know, all about us. And then as you mature and you get older, you start, you know, realizing that, okay, we are two unique individuals that have to learn, you know, how to be there for each other and hopefully provide the support that we each need in the good times and the bad. And so the divorce happened. I'll just jump ahead. We were married 30 years, and I just, I was devastated when he kind of said, you know, Jode, I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore. And I just really, wow, you know, never expected it in a million years. I thought, despite all the little issues that every couple has, I truly thought, you know, he's my soulmate. This is the man that I love. I'll be with forever. And when that happened, that was in 2016. And I found out kind of accidentally that he was kind of seeing somebody. And we tried, you know, I was willing to forgive, believe it or not, Bill. I was just like, I know this man. You know, he's just going through a tough time, and I've got the Lord with us, and we're going to fight through this, and we're gonna make it work, and we're going to figure it out. We went to a Christian counselor, and I insisted it be a Christian counselor. And we went maybe three or four times, and I think we both kind of felt like we weren't getting where we needed to get. Not because of the counselor, she was amazing, but I was looking for some major apologies, and I think he was looking to, I don't know, I really don't know, but I felt like there wasn't that connection of we're going to get through this. So we spent an entire year trying to kind of work on things, but I just knew in my heart, you know, something wasn't missing. I didn't think he wanted it as much as I did. And I didn't know what it was, but I was really trying, and I wasn't about to give up. And so it got to the point where all of a sudden, you know, my son was in high school. My daughter was just starting PA school, and I was trying to be strong for them, right? Because I didn't want my daughter to really know, because I didn't want her to worry. And my son was home because he was still in high school. My daughter was 7 hours away. And so he knew what was going on. And so I talked to him. But one of the biggest regrets I think I'll ever have in my life was I asked him, I said, you know, honey, I said, maybe don't tell your sister, because I don't want her to worry. And she's got so much on her plate. And he seemed to be fine. Right.
Yeah.
And so later that year, my husband filed. And I just had to accept the fact that, you know, I had 20 days to find a lawyer, and it was just excruciating. I just still couldn't believe it was even happening. And so that Christmas, my daughter came home from her break. She only had 1 week off, very stressful in med school. And I kind of had to tell her what was going on, and it just broke my heart. And that night, you know, my son was there. We were all home Christmas Eve, my son and my daughter and I. And my son said, you know, Mom, I wish that you hadn't asked me not to tell Amanda, because, you know, I could have used her to talk to. And I just broke down. I felt so bad, you know, because I thought, I was trying to be strong. I was trying to do what I thought was right. But when it comes to our kids, you know, you just, everything is for them sometimes. And anything that hurts them is tremendously hurtful. So, of course, I apologized. I said, I didn't know. I thought I was trying to protect her and you seem to be fine. And I didn't know. But thank goodness, both my kids are doing fabulous right now. They're doing amazing. Just really amazing. I can't even tell you. They're really good. My daughter's getting married. Hopefully, with the coronavirus, she's getting married in June. Hopefully, that will still happen. But things are good. And a lot of the reason, I guess I would say, Bill, is that through, I think, my faith, my Bible study classes, getting to know who God really was, and I had gotten certified with grief recovery in the year that we were trying to repair our marriage. So had I not had those two things, I think, going on at the same time, I might have been in a very different place today. But the grief recovery method is something I can get into a little bit more detail. But after the divorce happened, you know, like a lot of people who go through divorce, I tended to isolate. And I'm a very outgoing person. But I wasn't ready to be with a lot of people. And even though I had my certification, I was still trying to untangle this ball of all these mixed emotions.
Sure.
And I decided, okay, well, I've got to do something. I mean, I had a master's in teaching. I had a good career. But I wasn't ready emotionally to take a job where, I don't know, I had to be there 100% with my mind. So I took a job with a local supermarket, Aldi's, and I was in the bakery. And I was making donuts and being with people and getting black and blue on my legs because I was lifting things off of a pallet, you know, trying to stock shelves. That was part of my job. But I loved the people and I loved being out. And so when I came home, it wasn't like I had a lot of stuff I had to worry about in terms of my job. It was more physical, so I could leave it there.
Yeah.
And then it just got to a point, I guess, like, you know, I was going into my third year there, and I think I frosted my last donut, and I said, you know, Lord, I said, I have so much more to offer than frosting donuts.
Yeah.
And I remember one of our pastors at church once saying, why do something ordinary when you can do something extraordinary with your life? And that's kind of what just, you know, I was always thinking about it. I always wanted to kind of open up my own business. I had been teaching classes at church for the past 3 years, dealing with grief as a volunteer. And I knew my certification offered so much more understanding about grief than what I was teaching. And so I wanted to take it further. Thus, I decided to find a place. I found an office. I got a lot of good feedback from people that I was sharing my grief recovery experiences with and my knowledge about getting through grief and moving forward in a positive way. And I decided to open up my own business. So I founded Piece by Piece Grief Recovery, and that's where I got to my business.
Wow,
so
totally awesome. Let's just take a short little break here on Young Catholics Respond because I want to come back and I want to talk with you about that grief recovery method. And then I also want to talk with you about, of course, your business and how people can get in touch with you and how you can work through them how they can work with you. So right back after these messages here on Young Catholics Respond, I'm Bill Snyder.
Hello, I'm Kendra Von Esch, and I am super excited to be a part of Our Faith, Our Hope, and Our Love, a live online Catholic conference with other inspirational speakers, igniting your spirit through prayer, music, and ending with Mass this Saturday, March 28th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern. Go to patchworkheart.org and scroll down to upcoming events to register for free. See you Saturday.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back, everybody, to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. Today, my guest is Jody Vickery, and we're talking with her about her wonderful, really it's a ministry, but her wonderful company, Piece by Piece.
And Jody just told us an amazing journey of faith and a wonderful story. So if you missed the first part of the interview, I'm going to tell you to go listen to it again and rewind it on our podcast feed. But Jody, I want to ask you a little bit more now about the grief recovery process and the grief recovery method in particular. So just share with us a little bit about that and, of course, talk with us about how people can get in touch with you.
Sure. So the grief recovery method is a method that I got certified through the Grief Recovery Institute. John James and Russell Freeman were the founders of this particular company, and they certify people. And their mission is to reach as many people as possible, to be honest. And the grief recovery method, the reason it's so important to me and that I feel privileged and that it's been a gift for me to start giving other people is that it's the first type of program that I've ever found that it's tangible, it's action-based, it's a method for dealing with unresolved grief. And oftentimes, you know, I think counselors are great. Now, I'm not a counselor, I'm a grief recovery specialist, but when we talk about counselors, lots of times, you know, counselors deal with a lot of different types of things, you know, whether it's depression, food, anxiety, lots of different things. So the grief recovery method, why I love this so much is that, in my opinion, I think the root of every piece of unresolved grief in our life usually comes from something that's unresolved, right? Or I should say every symptom, whether it's depression or what have you, comes from grief. There's something unresolved in us. So we turn to other things like those STIRBs I was talking about. Some people turn to drugs or alcohol or food disorders. And so this is a particular method. It's 8 weeks long when I do it in a group. It's 7 weeks long when I do it in a one-on-one situation. And what we focus on is unresolved grief. And what I talk about is the fact that unresolved grief is really about things that we all wish we had done differently or wish we had done things better. It's about all those unrealized hopes and dreams and expectations that, you know, we had for our relationships and all the undelivered communications that we never did. And so we focus on what we call getting complete with all those pieces of being unresolved with your grief. And we work a lot on forgiveness and apologies and all those statements that we never said to that somebody that we wish we had. We always have regrets. And so I kind of like to term it, Bill, like I try to help people become processing plants with their emotions instead of storage tanks, because we all just stuff everything down and we all follow those myths about, you know, grieving alone and being strong and time will heal. But it truly is not that time will heal. It's going to be the actions that you take over time. And that's what I've done for myself. I've started to take actions in moving forward with my grief. And it's just amazing that when you really start to, you know, help people see the beauty in themselves, that's what I'm finding. I started to see the beauty in myself. I think I was one of those people that always felt like I'm not enough. And this process has really helped me understand who I am and that divorce, whatever it is, you know, we have to understand that none of us are perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. And we're not right. We're not wrong. We just need to understand each other. And I think the two things that God asks us to do on this earth is to love him and to love each other. And so if we can start understanding how to find the beauty in the other person instead of being judgmental or just talking, just communicating, we'll figure out a lot of ways in dealing with that unresolved grief and help us move forward.
That's beautiful. That's so beautiful. I want to ask you real quick as we wrap up to just give us a way for people to get in touch with you locally here in the Milwaukee area. But and then also I know because you'd like to serve people in person, but then also how can people also find out more about this method and get in touch with a specialist in their area too?
Sure, absolutely. If you want to know about grief recovery in your particular area, I mean, it's nationwide. All you have to do is Google thegriefrecoverymethod.com, and you can punch in your zip code, and it will give you a specialist that's close to you in your area. In terms of my particular business, I'm located here in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. My phone number, if you want to call, is 262-832-3737. My website is www.peacebypeacerecovery.com. And again, like Bill, you said in the beginning, it's peace, P-E-A-C-E, like the peace of your heart, P-E-A-C-E by P-I-E-C-E, peacebypeacerecovery.com. And I would just love to talk to anybody who's looking to move forward beyond their loss.
Oh, so beautiful. Jody, thank you so much for spending time with me today on Young Catholics Respond. It's been a pleasure having you on, and really very insightful. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Bill. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's really been a gift and a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Well, for everybody else, thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
You've been listening to Young Catholics Respond, a radio initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about our ministry and program, visit us at patchworkheart.org. Or to get exclusive access and early ministry updates, become our patron on Patreon by searching for Patchwork Heart Ministry.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY, that's LEARN, the number 2, PRAY, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.